This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Thanks for being here this afternoon as we cover lots of different topics around Douglas County on Inside Douglas County. Today from Douglas Cares, the Executive Director, Sarah Wickersham. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
And introduce who you brought in with you.
This is Haley Gallego. She is a new member of our team. She is a skills trainer, which is a mental health paraprofessional on our brand new Family Tree program.
Haley, thanks for coming in.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So talk a little bit about your background. What led you to be at CARES?
So I actually used to work in the mental health field, and I have about 3 years' experience. I was actually a peer support coordinator, so I worked with ages 16 to 25. And then using just my own personal experience, I've always had a ton of passion for mental health.
And it's obviously complicated work, to say the least.
Yeah. So especially here in Douglas County, we are, well, my specific program, you know, is new, the Family Tree program. So we are actually in the works of it. It's been a little bit of a slow-moving process, but I'm excited to see where it goes.
So, Sarah, the program, who does it apply to or who are you doing it for?
So Family Tree grew out of us noticing that we serve a lot of families where there's some abuse or neglect or just really difficult circumstances, and there aren't enough services in place in the community to help them stay strong and stay together. And we see that the outcomes for families when they're separated are much worse than when they get to stay together with support. So our goal for this program is to take families that are struggling right on the brink there and really having a hard time and wrap them around with services so that we can keep them together and keep them strong and healthy and keep the kids safe in their homes.
And given some of those situations, there's probably a lot of complex things to take a look at, that the dynamics of relationships and many factors.
There are. The Family Tree program is different from other mental health models in that we're not looking at a single patient within the family. We're treating the entire family as the client, as the unit in that can be built in such a way that children can grow healthy and strong inside of it. So we're not looking to identify a patient or identify a problem. We're looking at the whole family as one unit and as our client, the work where we're going to do our work.
Which means also you've got to, the complex part of that is making sure that everybody involved, the client or all the people, mm-hmm. are willing to get the help.
Yeah, that's right. It is a complex and dynamic process. It includes assessments for each individual in the family as well as the family as a whole. And we offer services including individual and group therapy for each member of the family, as is appropriate for what they need.
So was this a new concept or something that you heard that somebody else was doing elsewhere? How'd you kind of put it together?
I have heard of similar models, but this really came out of our team seeing the need within our clients and families, and wanting to have a different approach to how we work with families when there's some kind of disruption at play.
So Haley, the idea is to keep people together, and I know that sometimes that's not very easy.
No, it's not very easy, especially when, let's say, a family member doesn't necessarily want the services. So our goal is to go with what the family would like and eventually go at their, you know, their pace and just kind of cater to their needs. And it's going to be every individual family that we meet with, all of their, all of their needs are going to be different. So everything that we are going to do is going to be, it's just going to be family oriented. So
what kind of factors can lead to parents having their children placed in foster care?
Well, definitely abuse, neglect, There is also multiple other reasons, but the main ones for family tree are going to be like abuse or neglect.
And what tends to lead to some of those situations?
Definitely a lot of misunderstandings. I feel like a lot of families in Douglas County don't have a lot of knowledge when it comes to mental health, and they don't understand their child or why they're acting out this way or what support they really need. So I feel like healthy communication is also another one. So being able to support the family and give them these techniques and just support them along their journey to develop these habits is really going to be essential.
So, Sarah, what about the piece of with this in terms of working with the Department of Human Services?
So DHS is our main partner in this project. They will be helping us identify the families, and that's where we're going to be getting our referrals. So they're on the lookout for families that there are times of when the abuse is too great and when our intervention is not appropriate or not appropriate at this time, but they're looking for families where poverty or substance use or lack of resources has led to a situation that's kind of gotten out of control but can be brought back together. They're also looking for families where the children were placed out of the home short term, and they want to bring them back as quickly as possible to kind of minimize that trauma of separation. But our main referral source is child welfare, and they're the ones, they're very strong partners with us on this project.
So Haley, then at that point, you're working with DHS and trying to see exactly what needs to happen to make that reunion take place and have the situation be a long-term safe situation.
Yes, that is correct. So our program, we have the idea of it being between 9 to 12 months, and that's just going to depend on each family. But we're pretty much going to just go along with whatever the family and DHS kind of has in mind.
What kinds of things does this involve in terms of, do you meet with each member of the family individually sometimes, or would you meet in a group setting, or would it just vary?
Yeah, so it definitely varies. Currently, we are meeting everyone in the family, and we are doing individual therapy, individual skills training. We can do parent skills training. We can do group therapy, family therapy. We can even help when it comes to like being a voice for them when it comes to their schooling, just really helping along with their communication, just being a support in their back pocket, really.
Do some of these families tend to have a background where this has happened in prior generations?
Well, some do, and some I feel like it is new. But I would say it is more so common when they have some generational trauma.
I mean, for some people, when you paint a picture and say, this is what a strong family looks like, they might just look at you and go, what? I've never seen this before.
Yeah, and that is also something that we focused on in our assessment, is we focused more on like a strength-based assessment rather than a negative assessment. So in other words, we are asking the family or the individual what strengths they see in their family. So we're kind of changing the dynamic of, oh, what is wrong here, rather than like pointing out what obviously is like the cause of why they're here, but more of, oh, we actually do this, or like say our family loves to get together and we love to watch movies and, you know, something like that. It actually really shows them that, wow, we actually, you know, we do some family things, and that's nice.
Now, are you the sole person kind of working on this project?
No. So I am the skills trainer. Right now I'm the only skills trainer. And then we have our family tree child and family therapist. His name is Burge Jones. And then we also have our family tree mental health advocate, which is Chris Caldwell. So obviously Burge is going to be providing most of the therapy for individuals and the family. And then Chris is kind of going to be more of the case management side. So he is kind of setting up all of the meetings, being in contact with DHS, all of those things.
All right, we're going to talk more about this in a minute when we come back. The interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson at 1, Umpqua Valley Live. Later today at 4, we're talking about Douglas Carers and the Family Tree Skills Program. And Sarah Wickersham, the Executive Director, did I get that right?
Close. We call it the Family Tree Program. Haley is our skills trainer, so she is one of the professionals on the team.
I knew that didn't come out quite right. Sarah Wickersham and Haley Gallego, right?
Yeah.
And how many families are you working with this right now, and how new is it?
Oh, geez. Let's see. I think we just started about
less than
a month ago. Yeah. And our ideal is to take on 10 families to start right now. We're currently kind of trying to do 2 to see how things go. But our idea is 10. Mm-hmm.
And how long do you expect to work with some of these families?
So our timeline really depends on the family, but our kind of idea is going to be 9 to 12 months.
So at that point, because, I mean, these problems, you didn't get to this point by something that could be solved with one meeting.
No. So it's definitely going to be a reoccurring service. So a lot of our clients that we see are seeing myself and the therapist, you know, in the same week. Sometimes I can see clients up to 2 times a week. Just kind of depends on what the family's needs are and what is on the treatment plan that our family therapist will come up with.
Is there a lot of trust issues that are not working out so well in these situations?
Yes. So we're not like the typical service that has been So
we know what you mean.
Yes, thank you. Stereotyped in the county, and a lot of the families that we are seeing have had history when it comes to services and not always the greatest experiences. So there are a lot of walls that are built up, and so it takes a lot of time and consistency, I would say, is the biggest thing.
Now, for working with the younger people, what is the youngest age group where you would do therapy or an interview?
Well, it kind of depends, because we're not just working with the children. We're working with the whole family. So we have families that can come in with babies because, you know, we want to keep the family together. So I guess the interview age would really be dependent on the parent at that time. You know, point. I would say, I mean, the youngest that we're doing now would be like in their teens. So that is something that is yet to come.
Yeah, it is a goal of ours to work with families with younger children. The younger, the better, because the earlier we can make these changes and help support the family, the better long-term outcomes there will be for all of them.
Well, and I imagine that there are situations where, you know, this has been evolving. Maybe things were pretty okay with a few bumps in the road, but it's been going on for a very long time. And if you could have been able to be part of the picture early on, you could have avoided a lot of issues for everybody involved.
Yeah, and that's a factor that we keep coming back to over and over and over again. We as a society, as a culture, we can identify these red flags, these risk factors very early. We can identify them in teens before they ever have babies. We can identify them in pregnant moms when they go to the hospital. Like, we know when there's going to be problems, when somebody's going to need extra support to do this job well. And often we don't intervene until after something has gone wrong. But if we, our team here, can intervene the first time something small goes wrong, then we can avoid, you know, some of the worse implications later on.
Well, and it's really an approach that a lot of areas of medicine and assistance have developed, the idea that for instance, with physical things, if you if you've got a particular issue with your body that could be fixed by something early on versus, 2 years later and suddenly you have a giant big surgery that costs lots of money and all that, and if you would have just listened to the person a couple of years ago. I mean, but for mental health, it's much the same, it sounds
it
like.
It is very much the same. But as Haley mentioned, there's a lot of stigma around there, and there's a lot of distrust, especially with the way families are typically going to come into services, which is because child welfare is looking very closely at them, and they can perceive that as judgment about their parenting styles or an antagonistic approach. I don't think child welfare is doing that intentionally. I think their job and their goal is to make families whole and happy. But we have a very, very strength-based approach. We believe that every family has what it takes to be whole and healthy and happy together, and we just want to walk beside them on that journey. And I also believe that every family knows what they need, and that we're just there to kind of help fill in the gaps.
There's so many things involved, so many different agencies working in different parts of this, along with DHS. Are there other groups you're working with?
We are communicating openly with FARA. FARA provides some really amazing parenting classes, and rather than try and recreate that wheel, we would like to identify families in our program that would fit well with the classes that FARA is already putting on and send our kiddos over there. There are also a number of really amazing services and resources in our community, like the Family Relief Nursery at Family Development Center, where our littles can go and they can get that extra array of services. And there's no good reason to recreate the wheel in all of these circumstances, and we have a lot of amazing partners in our community to help with that project.
And it seems like that's an important piece of it, because oftentimes you get a lot of people that are trying to help, and if you're duplicating what somebody down the street is doing, you're not helping as much.
Right. So that's really why the third member of the team, the case manager person, is there. His job is to make sure that whoever is involved in the family's life is all on the same page, and we're not asking the family to do 10 different plans to try and, jump through all these hoops to meet somebody else's goals. His job is to bring everybody to the table and make sure that we're all talking about the same things and that those things work for the family.
And helping the family realize that if this doesn't get figured out, the next step's going to be even more difficult.
Yeah, we certainly don't want to use a threat perspective, but yes, we will be doing a lot of psychoeducation. Like, what happens if my child doesn't get enough food to eat and has to go to school hungry every day? What happens if my child has a fear-based perspective when it comes to discipline? How is that going to relate when they go to school and the teacher tells them to do something and they're terrified? There's a lot of psychoeducation involved, because there's just habits that get built over generations that people just don't understand what that does to a brain long term. So yes, we will be doing that. We're going to, again, do that from a strengths-based perspective, from knowing that when all of us, when we know better, we do better.
Now, did you have to reach out at a particular place to get funding for all this?
The Ford Family Foundation has been extremely supportive of the work that we do at Douglas Cares in many different avenues. But they funded the startup for this program. It will be sustainable through UHA billings, through our local health insurance billings. But Ford Family Foundation really, really got us off the ground in terms of funding to get us all started.
And if somebody wants to find out more about how all this works, how do they connect with you guys?
You can always go to our website, www.douglascares.org, or you can just give us a call.
All right, Sarah and Haley, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.